Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Former FEMA Director Michael Brown says his biggest regret 1 year after Hurricane Katrina is that he didn't speak up about the lack of a federal response. Brown said, quote, there was no plan. He says he stuck with what he called White House talking points rather than leveling with the country about how bad things were after the Kerr hurricane hit the Gulf Coast. Brown confesses that as a political appointee, he was trying to protect George Bush, and he says he was torn between telling the absolute truth and relying on those talking points. Brown, who Bush once said he was doing a heck of a job, thinks he was made a Katrina scapegoat because he was low man on the totem pole, and he says it's baloney for critics to suggest that he was not qualified to head FEMA. The rush to get ready for Ernesto is growing. South Carolina's governor now says he's activated hundreds of National Guard troops in case Ernesto comes toward his state. Ernesto with winds of 45 miles an hour, some higher gusts moving over warm water now north of Cuba, heading toward South Florida. The Bahamas has ordered many boats to stay in port, a hurricane watch up for the islands closest to Florida. The first rain falling of what could be more than a foot of rain in South Florida, and residents are racing to stock up. The counties that include Miami and Fort Lauderdale also want anyone still living under a roof damaged by last year's storms to get out now. Texas Governor Rick Perry has ordered a November 7th special election to temporarily replace resigned Congressman Tom DeLay. That date coincides with the general election. DeLay resigned in June, but his congressional term does not expire till January, so the winner of this special election would fill his seat until then. In the general election, Nick Lampson is the Democratic candidate, and he intends to file for the special election as well. Republicans have thrown their support to Houston City Councilwoman Shelley Sekula Gibbs as a write-in candidate after the courts refused to remove DeLay's name from the ballot. A pair of public interest lawyers say they plan to subpoena the White House for a document showing whether the Bush administration approved the secret program to examine the phone records of millions of Americans. The attorneys represent more than two dozen people who have sued Verizon Communications, AT&T, and Bell South. The lawsuits claim the companies violated privacy laws by turning over phone records to the National Security Agency. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome to the Mike Valoy Show on the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby in for Mike all this week. Mike doing the Randy Rhodes Show. And I heard him doing Randy's show, and Phil from Santa Fe called in and told Mike to keep doing his Tai Chi. And Mike just kind of chuckled. I don't know, Mike, are you listening? Or Phil, are you listening? I'm the Tai Chi guy. Mike's the karate guy, the karate kid. But maybe Mike is doing Tai Chi as well. Has he talked about that on the air? Hey, this is a talk show if you're just joining us on the Air America Radio Network, just kind of dialing through any of the stations on the Internet, on XM, anything like that. So grab your phone, 866-303-2270. We have a guest a little later in the hour here, and his name is Protop Chatterjee. He's the director of CorpWatch, watching corporations, and we're going to be talking about New Orleans, which happened today. I want to thank the people at Talk Radio Daily News. You can go to the website, talkradiodailynews.com. They've made me the air personality of the day, the radio person of the day, as they say. You can go to their website at talkradiodailynews.com. It's just up there till 12 Central Time. But that was nice. And, I mean, it's a good ego stroke, actually. But what was nicest about it is that Larry Shannon, the webmaster or editor or both of talkradiodailynews.com, said quite a few of you had written in and nominated me. And you can go to that site, talkradiodailynews.com, and nominate other people. I can nominate Mike. Maybe he's already been there. All right, up on the screen, I wish we could do a moment of silence for New Orleans and the people that perished and the damage that was done. And it's just heartbreaking. It's so easy because of all the vile mistakes made by the Bush regime to fasten solely on our anger or, at worst, disappointment at best. Or the other way around. I don't know. You figure it. Whatever. Your emotions are yours. But grief at what happened, that we could do a moment of silence and maybe just a real quick one for all those folks. That's really all we can do on radio. You know what happens? People tune by and they go, oh, there's nothing there on that station. Station managers go nuts with when there's dead air, and who can blame them? Lead story, New Orleans remembers Katrina with style. The first anniversary of the biggest calamity to befall the city was marked Tuesday with a moment of silence, wreath layings, the tolling of bells, and in the true New Orleans fashion, a wailing jazz funeral through the potholed streets for the victims of Hurricane Katrina. And I was just looking at this story that came from the Associated Press. What's the word? Isn't the word in Yiddish chutzpah? C-H-U-T-Z-P-A-H. Maybe need a little on the first one. Chutzpah. I can't do it. But maybe some of you folks that speak Yiddish could call in and say it for us and give it the real for it, the chutzpah, which means unmitigated gall. I think I'm correct on that as well. Here is the chutzpah award of the day, the unmitigated gall award of the day. The headline is Bush comforts New Orleans, urges hope. Of course, he did that on 9/11 as well. Drops the ball on 9/11, and I know some of you think it was much worse than that. At a minimum, at an absolute minimum, let's put it at that. You can elevate it depending upon how you see the situation of that catastrophic day, September 11th. But at a minimum, Bush dropped the ball in the worst intelligence failure in American history, and then is elevated as the hero of the day, where most of us realize, listening to Air America, the most savvy audience in America in terms of political radio or political television, know and see the image. When you think of Bush, you see him standing with a megaphone and a hard hat at Ground Zero. No, you see him looking like a deer in the headlights, reading, what was that, my pet goat or whatever, and just clueless. America's under attack. What do I do? What would Karl Rove tell me to do? Same thing here. All the signs were there. All the information was there for a catastrophic storm, and Bush did nothing. The words that will remain embedded in our minds forever will be, you're doing a heck of a job, Brownie. You're doing a heck of a job, Brownie. We found out from Michael Brown, an interview he did that was reported in the newspapers yesterday, that that's the only time that he was ever called Brownie. It's, again, this chutzpah that that Bush has, President Petomane, as we began calling him last night, that because he loves to fart in front of people to kind of embarrass him for, you know, a rich frat rat sense of humor. And I was thinking about it. I had another thought about that. Actually, my wife, I told my wife about that. I'm going, yo. And she said, why is it that men, all you have to say is fart or ass, and you guys are like doubled up with laughter? And I said, I don't know. You know, like I'm laughing now. But anyway, it's another sign of the kind of arrogance born of power and privilege. Because it's, I mean, one of the things that we normally do, most of us, I would say 99% of us, hide the fact when we pass gas. I'm sorry. I mean, again, you think, what is with this guy? He talks about this every night. I'll get through it real quickly. The deal is that you don't do this publicly unless you have such a position that you can afford this arrogance and contempt for the people beneath you. And it said that in the U.S. News and World Report news article where they reported on Bush doing this in front of, regularly in front of new interns, that would, can you imagine how embarrassed they must be? And they would never do it in front of him. Superiors would do that because they feel they have the right to do or say anything to people beneath them. And that gives you a clue of the mentality that Bush has towards the whole world. And if you're wondering why am I calling him President Petomane, just kind of Google it. I think you can even go P-E-T-O-M-A-I-N-E, and you can figure that all out. So Bush comforts New Orleans. I caused all this death and suffering by my malfeasance and misfeasance, and I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to urge you to have hope. I can't even do what Hezbollah does for the people in southern Lebanon, another right-wing authoritarian, theocratic, political manifestation of the worst sentiments circulating around the globe. That same manifestation here in Washington, presided over by Bush, can't at least do that. If you're going to be a pack of damn fascists, I mean, at least deliver the goods. Remember, they used to say Mussolini, you know, you'd say, oh, the guy's a dictator, he's putting people in jail. Well, he made the trains run on time. It's not much of an endorsement. But Bush doesn't even do that. Trains are never on time. Anyway, it says here, President Petomane comforted this city that lost so much in Hurricane Katrina and has regained so little in the years since. Well, what kind of comforting does that bring? Amid the raw sorrow of Tuesday's anniversary, President Petomane selected a few beacons of hope to give a lift to struggling Gulf communities in his own still smarting presidency. He scarfed, man, who wrote this? Jennifer Lovin, loving it, Jennifer Lovin. He scarfed hotcakes with happy patrons at Betsy's Pancake House. He chose as a speech backdrop a new charter school viewed as a sign of the city's commitment to a better post-Katrina educational system. Now, again, see, he's attacking public education. He is, and there's all these studies been out, including some new ones, that say that, in fact, many charter schools do worse on a lot of subjects. At best, they do the same. But he's trying to erode the public schools. The Detroit public school system, where I'm broadcasting from, in Detroit, not the school system itself, there's a strike going on now among teachers. They're trying to make the teachers give back $90 million in pay and benefits. The school system and the city is broke. We live in the wealthiest country in the world. It's going down the rat hole of war spending. More on that later. And Bush is complimenting those kind of schools, right? For those who are here, the city barely functions. 50% have electricity. One-third of the city's hospitals and fewer than half of its schools are reopened. Sounds like Baghdad, doesn't it? And there really is a real comparison here. Violent crime is up, more Baghdad comparison. Nearly all the levees are patched, but it's unclear whether they would hold through another storm or whether they will be strengthened further, as many want. And it says the Bush's presidency has hardly recovered ever. But what kills me, Bush declared, I take full responsibility for the federal government's response. Zero. So why is he still in office? Along the way, there was evidence many still needed convincing. A man held a spray-painted banner up reading, Bush failure. Likewise, homeowners near Habitat Worksite had signs on their front gate that said, make levees, not war, and message to FEMA, got trailers? We need one. We'll be talking more about it with our guests when we come back. I'm Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show. If you'd like to join the conversation, 866-303-2270. Email for me, short please, and maybe I'll read it on the air. Call talkyes at yahoo.com. And my personal website, peterwerbe.com, last name W-E-R-B-E.com. Right back. Stick around.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. That's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and plopped them on the internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.
Okay. The question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hi, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. Tune in tonight as Peter Worthy sits in for me while I'm spending the week at a happy place, sipping a cocktail, snuggling with my family, far, far away from the flying monkey, right? I'll be back next Monday, rested, relaxed, and ready to get depressed all over again. In the meantime, listen to my good friend, Peter Worthy.
Hey, thanks, Mike, for the nice introduction. Although we know the real truth, you're actually doing the Randy Rhoads show all this week while I do your show. And I probably shouldn't have been opening my mail during, not my email, I was, but also my snail mail, as it's called. And a brand new book out from City Lights Books. That's Lawrence Ferlinghetti's firm, the poet, the beat poet that published Howl by Allen Ginsberg. Cindy Sheehan's got a brand new book out called Dear President Bush. And most of this stuff, you can probably go to citylights.com. I'm trying to look at this quickly. And it's got an introduction by historian Howard Zinn. And also Mother Jones, which is probably motherjones.com. Lie by Lie, How Our Leaders Use Fear and Falsehood to Dupe Us into a Mideast Quagmire, a Timeline. Now, get the paper representation of our ideas, the Nation, Mother Jones, the Progressive. You know, these we spend so much time, the progressive left does, on the Internet. I do. That we don't spend enough time reading. That gives us a lot more time to reflect. And also, these publications should be supported. I was saying earlier that when a headline that says Bush confronts New Orleans, urges hope, that I said I was hoping I was saying the Yiddish word right, chutzpah. And I said, someone correct me if I'm saying it wrong. Bob in Miami writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. He says, you don't need a nice Yiddish boychik like me to pronounce chutzpah. You've got it down. Actually, I never was religious, but now belong to the Universal Church of Independent Atheists. Oi, he says. That's also what the that's the old joke, right? What did the dyslexic rabbi say? Yo! You don't think that's funny? All right, sorry. Thank you. Thank you. The people in New York were laughing. Well, where else? Okay, should I go on a bit? Yeah, I want to do one more thing, except since I've lost it. No, I didn't. I didn't lose it. Here it is. As I said, always overprepared, underorganized. 66% of us say Katrina recovery too slow. Well, we're going to ask, who in the hell would think that it wasn't too slow? As governments, news bureaus, and the public mark the anniversary of the day Hurricane Katrina drowned New Orleans, just 36% of Americans think emergency services are now better prepared to cope with disasters of comparable scale. They're on another planet, probably Uranus, I would say, right? Well, there I go again. Wait, maybe I got a problem. I don't know. This was conducted just recently, and let's see. In that vein, 66% of what vein? I don't know. 66% say the recovery effort in New Orleans is not fast enough. Well, what the hell? It's a year. You know, Hezbollah does it in like 2 days, and I said they're both right wing. You know, the Bush crime family, as Mike calls them, accurately. They're both right wing authoritarian theocratic movements. How come one can do it and the other can't? The pace is appropriate, according to 16%. 7% say it's too fast. They're on that same planet. In general, 47% say the federal government should bear the most financial responsibility for the areas affected by natural disasters. 19% say individuals should. Get that. Yeah, all right. You know, clean up, build some new levees, you. Yeah. The survey showed many differences in response according to gender, age, race, and income group. But the largest difference correlated with partisan affiliation. Twice as many Democrats, 60%, as Republicans think the federal government should bear most of the financial responsibility for the areas. Almost three times as many Republicans, 30%, as Democrats, 11%, think individuals should bear the cost of that responsibility. They're out there on that planet. Republicans are also more likely than Democrats to believe emergency services are better prepared now to cope with disasters and that the recovery in New Orleans has been too fast. Can you believe it? I mean, I can't. I actually can't. Let's, wait a minute. Here we got somebody in Mississippi. It's Sarge. Sarge is in Mississippi. Thanks for joining us on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby with you. Sarge, you're on the air.
It's nice to talk to you again, Peter. It's been a long time.
Oh, yeah. I remember you. Go ahead. But we only got about a minute left, so hit us.
Oh, man. Okay. I got a lot to say, too.
Well, you've got 60 seconds. Go.
Okay, I want to tell you, it's not just New Orleans. You're forgetting about the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
You are right.
Martin County was hit worse than anybody. New Orleans is my birth city. I live in Mississippi. The people here have been forgotten. They need your help. They live in trailers that are stinking of formaldehyde. The cost of living has tripled. The need for help is outrageous. We have a governor that's lying out his ass about things.
It is horrible, Peter.
And please, for God's sake, I love New Orleans. It's my birth city, and we're fighting together. But please don't forget about us down here.
Absolutely. Sarge, thank you so much. Stay tuned, too, because we're going to be talking with Protop Chatterjee. He is the director of Corp Watch, and we're going to talk about what has happened there. Where did our money go that was supposed to go for relief? Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show, and I'll be right back.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Have you ever met someone, shaken their hand, and the second you let go, you can't remember their name? Short-term memory loss is a natural part of aging. But forgetting names, dates, and misplacing things can be frustrating. In business, it can cost you money. Fight back with MemoProve, the new once-a-day tablet developed over 10 years by a pharmaceutical company using proprietary neuropeptides, clinically shown to improve memory. In just 30 days, MemoProve will boost your short-term memory by at least 15%, guaranteed. Call right now to find out how you can get a 3-month supply of MemoProve free. 1-888-665-MEMO. That's 1-888-665-MEMO. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-888-665-MEMO. 888-665-MEMO.
Hi, it is Michael there.
Okay,
my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just miss it, you know? And how is it?
Great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It is so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Hi, Truth Seekers. You're listening to Peter Werbe sitting in for me, Mike Malloy.
Thank you, Mike Malloy. Indeed, Peter Werbe here broadcasting from Detroit. Let's go up to the West Coast and bring in Protop Chatterjee. He is the director of Corp Watch, and they just released a report about Katrina in New Orleans called Big Easy Money Disaster Profiting on the American Gulf Coast, which does, as Sarge reminded us just in our last caller, is more than just New Orleans. Protop Chatterjee, thanks for joining us on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werbe here with you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Has your report, Big Easy Money Disaster Profiteering on the American Gulf Coast, gotten much play in the mainstream media? Most people just say all the aid was too slow, but you see a lot more than that. Am I correct?
Well, we haven't got that much play. I wish we'd gotten more. Everybody's sort of focusing on you know, the individual stories and George Bush's speech. CNN International did a little thing with us and the Independent in England, but, you know, where was, you know, CNN, the main CNN and you know, NBC and people like that? They didn't really cover these stories. The basic story is this, is that people talk about government bureaucracy, and government bureaucracy is a fact. They talk about, you know, corruption, local, federal, all this is true. But what people forget about is that, you know, it takes two to tango, and the corporations are very much part of that dance. And let me give you an example.
Sure.
All the contracts, you know, are going to big, well-connected companies. And by that, I mean, they say 60% of the contracts went to small businesses. It's just not true. We've studied the FEMA figures, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and the actual number is 13% in dollar value. Numbers, actual numbers of contracts, you know, in a dollar contract here, a dollar contract there, sure, there's lots of small business contracts. When you look at the big numbers, you actually look at the amount of dollars spent, 87% going to big companies, 30% going to companies in Virginia, which, of course, as your listeners probably know, is right next to Washington, D.C.,
sure,
very far from the Gulf Coast. Gulf Coast, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, as your previous caller said, those states got 16.7%, half of the amount that the companies in Virginia got. Why? Because they're well connected. You know, the people who work in those companies are people who once worked for government. They know exactly, they understand federal contracting language. They know how to write the contracts. And so they snap it all up.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happens in terms of the numbers.
We
call it like a contracting pyramid. So the contracts go to the big companies. Here's a company that's made a lot of money in Hurricane Katrina. It's a company called Ashbridge, and you probably haven't heard of it, but they're the company hauling debris, and that's largely what's happened. They fixed some levees, you know, patched it up, and they've hauled debris. They haven't reconstructed anybody's houses, pretty much none. Basically, what they've done is haul debris. Ashbridge got this contract. They were paid $23 for every cubic yard, $500 million worth of contracts. They then hired a second company to do this work for them, a company called CNB Enterprises, paid them $9 a cubic yard. CNB Enterprises hired another company called Amley Transportation, paid them $8 a cubic yard. Amley Transportation then hired a guy called Chris Hessler, and they paid him $7 a cubic yard. Chris Hessler then hired a guy called Les Nerdlinger to haul debris at $3 a cubic yard. Where did $20 go? Well, it went to a corporate bureaucracy. It went to these layers, you know, to overhead administration, profit. And here's the thing is that the small businesses, the people at the bottom, a lot of the people who are working there are undocumented workers, immigrant workers, who, and here's the best story of all, Halliburton, you know, here's this famous company, you know, Dick Cheney used to be the CEO of this company. They subcontract their work also, you know, cleaning up a naval base in Gulfport, Mississippi. They hire a company called Tipton Friendly Rollins. And then this company, Tipton Friendly Rollins, then has another company called Kansas City Tree. That has another company called Karen Tova, who then has immigrant workers. And then she doesn't pay them. When they demand their wages, she says, you know, if you get caught, you're going to get arrested and deported. So they run away. I mean, this is what's happening. The money is going into the pockets of big companies in Virginia. People in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, they're mad because they know the money's not coming there. And most of all, they know repair is not happening. Nothing has changed. You know, some of the debris have been hauled, not all of it. There's still, you know, boats stuck on shoulders of roads, mattresses and trees, you know. So Bush's statement yesterday, you know, he went to Biloxi, Mississippi. You know, if you were standing there, and if you moved that camera that you watched the broadcast on, you'd have seen that not everything was rebuilt. In fact, just move it by just a fraction, and you'll see that beyond that, there's debris, there's waste, you know, there's things that haven't been fixed.
I was just going to say that just out of camera range, even they noted that in some of the articles that Bush was standing in front of these reconstructed houses. You would go like just 5 degrees to the right, and there was still just all trash. I thought for absolutely once in my lifetime that there was good reporting about Katrina when it actually happened. But do you think that the media is rolling over for Bush on this?
I think they're giving him a harder time. I am glad to see that, you know, the media, you know, where 3-4 years ago people were like, rah, rah, let's go to war. Bush can do no wrong. And, you know, Saddam Hussein, you know, is a card-carrying member of Al-Qaeda. People are starting to say, wait a second, do we necessarily believe everything this man says? You know, there was this wonderful article in the New York Times where they show this photograph of him peering out at Katrina, you know, devastation from an airplane window. And they said, you know, his public image has taken a battering. And so, you know, they are actually reporting and being critical, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I don't think that's enough. I think you actually have to say, who's making the money out of it? And here's the thing. This is our third report in the series. We did a report in Afghanistan. We did a report in Iraq. I myself have been to Iraq 3 times. I was just there in April. I've written a book about the subject, Iraq Inc., just looking at contractors. And what we found is this pattern, you know. When I told you about Halliburton and how it subcontracts in Gulfport or Ashbrit in New Orleans, it's the same thing in Iraq, you know. I met truck drivers there making $16 an hour. That's the standard wage for an American truck driver over there. But Halliburton is charging us, the taxpayer, $80 an hour. So they're skimming lots of money off the top. It's the way federal contracting is working. Now, just before you imagine that, you know, people are doing something illegal, let me assure you that all of this is legal. And that's where the problem is the federal contracting system is set up. The idea is we outsource to private business, they can do it more efficiently. Not true. The private businesses actually, because of this pyramid of contracting, they double the bureaucracy, they double the waste, you know, and nothing gets done. So I think the media does need to look at who the companies are that are profiting, and they're not all necessarily famous, you know, and what's happening. The company that was hired to collect bodies, you know, in Louisiana after Hurricane Katrina struck, charged $6 million. They collected 535 bodies. I'll do that math for you. That's $12,500 per body.
Wow.
Now, there were local businesses, African-American businesses, who were willing to volunteer and go and pick up bodies. Now, they probably even knew better how to get around the city since it's their city. But this contract goes to Kenyon International, subsidiary of Service Corporation International, good friends of none other than President George Bush. In fact, remember Funeralgate, where there was this company dumping bodies out the back of a Jewish cemetery? Same company.
Wow. My guest on the Mike Malloy Show, Peter Werby here with you, is Protop Chatterjee, and he is the director of CorpWatch, C-O-R-P, Watch, and you can go to corpwatch.org, find the report called Big Easy Money, Disaster Profiteering on the American Gulf Coast. The people in this country are often so look askance on what we call third world countries because of this incredible level of corruption. It looks no different here from your report.
It's absolutely no different here. No, there is a slight difference here. Here it's legal. There it's not. I mean, this
okay.
let me just to give you an example. I was an advisor to the city of Berkeley where I live, and so I had to declare any kind of money that somebody, since I was an environmental commissioner, if anybody who hauled waste, like an Ashford, came up to me and gave me some money, I'd have to report it, right? So, but it didn't mean that I couldn't accept. There are limits, but I can accept stuff so long as I report it. So the difference we have here is that politicians have to report this thing, and so we can catch them at it. But it's not illegal to do it. In fact, it's legal so long as they report it. There are restrictions, you know, and there are ways around the restrictions also, as we've learned. There's so many So many stories, you know, the Jack Abramoff kind of scandals that we've been hearing about, Cunningham from San Diego, right?
Sure,
in California.
The Duke.
Exactly. So the people who are straight out lying and stealing, you know, and potting it up with the Watergate Hotel, you know, and giving away contracts to CIA contracts that can't be tracked. So this sort of thing happens all the time. But a lot of the stuff is simply legalized. And so once it's legal, people say, well, there's no problem. I didn't break the law. But here's the thing is, if they're pocketing all this money, you know, you go work for government, and Frank Rich actually wrote a very nice editorial op-ed in the New York Times a couple of months ago, where he said the Department of Homeland Security is now an empty shell. People go in there, they network for 5 years, and they leave and they set up their own business. You can go to Iraq and you look at the men who run the contracts there. The guy Butch Gatlin, he's this guy who was the guy in charge of Halliburton's construction in Iraq, where he worked for the Army Corps of Engineers for 32 years, and then he got paid double, triple to go work for Halliburton in Kuwait, and then he realized the big money was made not drawing a salary from Halliburton, but subcontracting. And this is the thing, this pyramid of subcontracting. So all these people, again, Eric Clifton, the New York Times, had this series, incredible series, about 90 top Department of Homeland Security officials who had left in the last 5 years. I mean, this agency is not even 5 years old, you know. They left and they went on to take jobs in the companies they once worked for, they once oversaw. I forget the name of this guy who was the head of the Army Corps of Engineers. Maybe 10 years ago, the company he works for now built levees. You know, this is illegal.
It is just amazing. And I've been probably uncharacteristically quiet during this interview because all of this is frighteningly fascinating and adds to the sense that what we're being governed by is not a government but a racket. There's more at corpwatch.org. My guest on this portion of the Mike Malloy Show has been Protop Chatterjee. I want to thank you so much. There's so much here, and I would urge everyone to learn more. Send it off to your favorite reporter. It's just a scandal that this isn't on every front page. Thanks for joining us on the Mike Malloy Show.
Thanks so much.
All right. God, the guy was great, wasn't he? Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. We're going to take a break. Got a caller is waiting, so we'll get to you. 866-303-2270. You can join us.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor, and my hair stopped.
Hold everything. Here's a special offer from Avacor. Today, Avacor will double your order. That's right, double it. You can't go wrong, because only Avacor gives you up to a full year to see results or get a full refund. Today's the day. Avacor will double your order. Call Avacor now and get twice for the price.
I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
And now, back to Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you, Mike Malloy. I'm broadcasting from Detroit. Just shaking my head about the report we just heard from the director of CorpWatch about the level of corruption. And when we hear about that, of course, the main and first thing we think about is the people of the Gulf region. And thank you again to Sarge from Mississippi to remind us that it's not just New Orleans that's suffering, it's that whole Gulf Coast. And the poorer you are, the more that you're suffering. But our hearts go out to those folks, and I guess I can't think of anything I'm going to do tomorrow to try to make that right, other than to rid ourselves of this racket called the Bush regime, right? Run by President Petomane. And those are our tax dollars that are being scammed that we just heard the report on. And if you just joined us, sometimes people go, oh, what report is he talking about? Talking about how, and I don't remember the exact figures, about how a contractor that's a buddy of Bush's will get $24 a ton for trash cleaned up. And then they'll contract it out to somebody else for $12, who will contract it out to somebody else for $8, who will contract it out to someone else for $7. How many layers did it go down, like five or something like that? Let's go to Steve in Portland, Oregon. Steve, thanks for calling 866-303-2270. You're on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you.
Hey, Peter.
Hi.
Nice talking to you.
Yeah, same here.
I basically have three quick little issues. The first one was directly related to the problems in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Oregon National Guard sent 1,200 troops down there, and now the federal government won't pay them.
Oh, no.
Yes. Recent article in the Oregonian, it's about $2.7 million, and it's so bad that they may have to shut some of the bases down and actually, completely shut down some of the air bases and all that.
Well, the feds may just have to take it over, which is Bush's plan, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But how well is that protecting us?
Not at all. Everything is wrong here. Everything. And some people say, "Oh, you're so negative." We've got to have we got to have the negativity to realize the depth of how bad the situation is. And then, and we're lacking on this. We got to get going with it because the Democrats aren't doing anywhere near it. So it's up to the people and an organized population to start putting forth a vision of how we really want this country to be. But go ahead, Steve. Steve, are you with me?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at an issue about 5 months ago. I was moved out of my apartment because they were turning into condos. And so at that time, we went in and moved into a little trailer, and because that's all we could afford. And now they're closing the park down. About a month ago, they closed the trailer park down. So the economic situation, I think, is a huge issue as of late. I think it's getting worse and worse. It's spreading from, from coast to coast.
Well, Steve, it depends on who you are. I mean, I said yesterday, I was reading this story from the New York Times that the economic expansion that began in Bush's term was the first one since World War II that offered a lift to real wages of most American workers. There has been this process of systematic looting by the elite owning class, the ruling class that is able to pick our pockets, essentially, even though we make more money for them. They don't share it. And, of course, they're greedy. That's why they vote for the greedy oil party, the GOP. But ultimately, it's us collectively. And, I mean, it is and it isn't. I mean, again, if someone said, okay, let's start righting the wrongs, Pete, what are you going to do tomorrow besides talk on the radio? Well, it'd be a tough find to go really where to do it. But there's got to be a movement for renewal in this country, and it's simmering. It's there. It's going to happen. Steve, thanks for joining me. Let's go out to Dearborn, Michigan, right near me. Here's Lester. Lester, hi, you're on the air. Hey, Lester.
Let's go.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say that, a lot of these Republicans 25 years ago were young men, and they were greatly influenced by Ronald Reagan.
Sure.
And when Ronald Reagan said, government isn't the solution, it's the problem,
right,
this was embedded in them. And I think that is why they are completely incapable of actually operating the mechanics of a government.
You know what I think? I mean, that's a decent argument, and I'm not really, when I say this, not arguing against it. But you know what I think? They are thoroughly and essentially, as a base definition of them corrupt. So the government has grown under George Bush. In fact, many conservatives criticize him for that, except that it's turned into a racket, that it's a way of transferring the wealth that we create and that they take through taxes, and rather giving it back to us in goods and services that we need, they pass it along to their corporate buddies.
I'm sorry. I don't necessarily agree with you.
That's okay. Hey, what the hell?
I think it's much more of a, that they truly believe government is evil. And this is what, this is their ideology.
Well,
and that added to, you know, basic incompetence equals what we have now.
Well, of course, it depends on who the they is. The troops in the trenches, the poor saps and suckers, the working class and middle class people that say, well, I'm a conservative, I'm a Republican, all the while getting their pockets picked by the people that they think are so great, but the people at the top, they know it's a racket. I don't know if you ever saw that little clip in Michael Moore's film Fahrenheit 9/11, where he says the haves and the haves more have more. You're my base. That's it. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show, first hour in our pocket. We've got two more, and it's just mano a mano, you and me. So call us up, open lines for you, 866-303-2270. Stay tuned for all the information at the top of the hour, and we'll be right back.
No doubt about it, the Internet is a great place to hang out. Like blogging, for example. I love to blog. Maybe too much, when I think of all the hours I blogged. Anyway, you've probably spent a lot of time on the Internet, too. Isn't it time the Internet paid you back? Just 15 minutes at GEICO.com could save you hundreds on car insurance. Now that's what I call payback.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hello?
Hey, is Mark there?
Yeah, this is.
Mark, I'm Paul.
Yeah.
I own your old new Passat.
Oh, yeah. The
Yes. Yeah. Oh, boy, it's great talking to you. Listen, if you ever want to just swing by and just, you know, sit in the Passat, you give me a call anytime. We'll make that happen.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. It's raining in parts of South Florida, but people are still scurrying to buy gas, food, and other supplies before the worst of Tropical Storm Ernesto arrives. Forecasters think it's possible it could return to hurricane status before making landfall tonight. Just hours after NASA crew started moving the shuttle Atlantis indoors, they stopped. Instead, the shuttle going back to the launch pad now. The change comes because forecasters lowered the expectations for Tropical Storm Ernesto. NASA says the top wind should be less than first thought, so it should be safe to leave Atlantis outside. Moving the shuttle is no easy task. It takes about 12 hours to get it back from the building to the launch pad. Had it gone back indoors, it could have meant a delay of more than a week before NASA could try another launch. A big storm off the Pacific coast of Mexico, Hurricane John, about 170 miles south of Acapulco, moving west-northwest, maximum sustained winds close to 90 miles an hour with higher gusts, but forecasters expect it to pick up in intensity tomorrow. A tropical storm warning is in effect for parts of the west coast of Mexico. On this one-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, George Bush told the people of New Orleans the government fell short of its responsibilities. Speaking today at a local high school in New Orleans, Bush says the city saw flooding on a biblical scale, resulting in the greatest dislocation of people since the Dust Bowl days of the 1930s. But Bush says if there is a next time, Washington will deliver what he calls a better, more effective response, and steps are being taken to make sure there's not a repeat. To that end, Bush says the Army Corps of Engineers is working nonstop to repair the New Orleans levee system. Their goal, though, is to have the levees stronger than ever by the year 2010, 4 years from now. America's poverty rate essentially stayed the same last year. According to the Census Bureau, about 12.6% of the population lived under the poverty line in 2005. That is 0.1% lower than the year before, statistically basically unchanged. 37 million Americans living in poverty last year. The federal government defines the poverty threshold for a family of four people at just under $20,000. For a single person, it is about $10,000. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show on the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby broadcasting from Detroit this whole week for Mike as he sits in for Randy Rhodes. Please join us. A great time to do it. Actually, some open lines, 866-303-2270. We talked most of the first hour about Katrina and just the heartbreak of what has happened to people there and the failure of the Bush government. Well, we'd be saying, well, you're just being partisan. He admits there's a failure. He says, I take full responsibility for the federal government's response. You're doing a heck of a job, Brownie. And so why doesn't he quit, given what's happened there? So if you have more to add to that, please do. But I'm still opening my mail. And I'm so glad to get this because I knew this was in the works. Tom Hartman, an Air America talk show host and also an old pal of mine from the IE America Radio Network back in the day. That was only about 3 years ago, right? He has a brand new book out. How does he do it? He does mornings, Tom Hartman does mornings in Portland. Then he does his national show at noon that is not on these Air America stations, but it's too long to explain. He also writes books, and he writes tons of books, and he writes them on every other thing imaginable. He's, oh, man, I'm looking also by Tom Hartman. There must be 15, 16 books here. Plus, and things like ADD, and he's got a new book coming out about walking for meditation. This one, though, is more appropriate to what we're on about. It's called Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class. Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class, and what we can do about it. That's extraordinarily important. And the foreword is by Mark Crispin Miller. And you can go if you want to find, you can either go to TomHartman.com or BKCurrents.com. That is the publisher. And I'm going to get Tom certainly on my Detroit show because every time he puts out a book, I get him on the air. He does all the work. Well, what about this big debate that's been proposed? This is great, isn't it? President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad of Iran challenged President Petumane to a televised debate and voice defiance as a deadline neared for Iran to halt work that the West fears is a step towards building nuclear bombs. And he said, Ahmadinejad did, peaceful nuclear energy is the right of the Iranian nation. It wants to use it, and no one can stop it. That's very unfortunate because there's a lot of hypocrisy. In fact, it's all hypocrisy about who has nuclear weapons in this world and who has the right to tell who that they can have it and under what conditions and all of that. But no nukes, period. Absolutely no nukes. No nuclear power, no nuclear bombs, to be sure. United Nations Security Council has given Iran until Thursday to suspend uranium enrichment, a process which can produce fuel for civilian reactors or explosive material for warheads, and has threatened to consider sanctions if it does so. Now, who's going to wind up getting screwed if they try to put sanctions on Iran? Them or us? And what is this all about? Oil has slipped below $70 a barrel today. I just drove in, and in my corner of the big street when I drive up to it, $2.68 a gallon. It was up to like $3.18. So one of the things Ahmadinejad knows and all the rest of these people involved in oil sales throughout the world, the more tension there is in the world, what happens? The price of oil goes up. So right now, because of a lot of reasons, the price is dropping. But if this looks like there's going to be a confrontation between Iran and the United Nations and this, what is it, group of, what is it, P5 plus one? I think so. I think that's what it's called. What'll happen? The price of oil will go up and we'll start paying more at the pump again. But this is what this does to us. Can you imagine that if, say, 10 years ago, that they had raised the price from ever whatever it was during the Clinton administration, probably at least, I remember, say, sometimes under a buck, but say it was a buck 10 a gallon. Someone said, you're going to pay $2.68 a gallon tomorrow. There'd probably have been a revolution. Now, though, we're saying, I looked at it and I said, $2.68, good, I'm almost on empty. I got to go fill up before it goes up again. So that's what they do. They keep two steps up, one step back, two steps up, and it's going up. And isn't this interesting that it happens right before the election? Can you imagine that the people that are undecided about who to vote for in November, and they're going to the polls, and they pass a gas station, and it says 321. So here it's down. So conspiracy? Well, who knows? It could be. Let's see. Another business article. Oil prices fall below $70 a barrel. They say there's a glut of oil now. A glut, so why isn't it back to $1 a gallon? But here, from the New York Times business section today, Detroit, that's my town, sees cheap gas as history. The Chrysler Group, which depends more heavily on sales of pickup trucks and sport utility vehicles than any other Detroit automaker, said Monday that it expected gasoline prices to remain at $3 to $4 a gallon for the rest of this decade. That's comments by Thomas Lasorda, who's the CEO of Chrysler. It's the first time a Detroit automaker has issued a specific forecast on gas prices. And Ford's chief sales analysis agreed, says these are not temporary, so get used to it. Essentially what it means to get used to is get used to high oil prices, but it also means getting used to high corporate rip-off profits. If they weren't making obscene profits, the gas prices would be considerably lower. You got to believe it. The analyst for Ford, John Pepys, said the auto company expected gas prices to remain high, volatile, and unpredictable. Sure, when all these people keep roiling the politics of the Middle East and of Venezuela. And is this purposeful? Because it really works out for them. All the oil-producing companies make a fortune. The companies make a fortune. And we get screwed at the pump. Together, the comments signal a recognition that the two automakers may have to fundamentally change their product mix. In other words, they're making all these big cars. So everybody that said, I got to get a big SUV, a Cadillac SUV, a big Chevy, what are those things that look half like a pickup truck? I can't imagine driving them. I'd like to have a small car. Some people have criticized me when I say I have a full-size Ford sedan. But I'll tell you, I don't want one of those little teeny cars when people are driving next to me in Detroit with these huge pickup trucks. I got a Ford Taurus, and it's still like having a little car, right? So now they're going to make little ones, and about 75% of the vehicles that Chrysler sells are pickups, sport utility vehicles, and minivans, two-thirds of them by Ford, and about 60% by GM. So that's why they're all losing money. So these guys, they're not so bright. They didn't figure it out. Toyota, Honda, Nissan, a lot of these other Asian companies, they sell automobiles, the cars, that are like 50% or more. And you know, and one of the things that's happened, image-wise, they've developed this model of the big, tough, macho guy who's going to drive a big, tough, macho pickup truck. I never understood that. You know, back a few years ago, you had a pickup truck, you worked. Now it's just a cool car, so you can kind of look like a big guy. And so what are they going to do? They're going to drive around in little cars now after the standard has been set for the big cars? People really bought a bill of goods, didn't they? All right, let's take a couple of calls here. And please join me. Open lines for you at 866-303-2270. It's the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby. And let's take Tom in San Diego, California. Tom, hi. You're on the air.
Yeah, Peter. Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Peter, I'm very sorry to report that democracy died tonight in San Diego.
Really? What happened?
Well, this evening, a California Superior Court judge in San Diego agreed with House Speaker Dennis Hassert that the California court had no jurisdiction over election irregularities in San Diego, which is still considered a part of California, in regard to the June 6th election to replace disgraced Republican Representative Randy Duke Cunningham. Cunningham, as many will remember, is serving 8 years in prison for accepting over $2 million in bribes.
And he got off lightly, actually.
Yeah, he got off very lightly. Well, what happened is that Dennis Hassert, just seven days after the June 6th election, Dennis Hassert, upon receipt of unofficial results from Assistant Secretary of State Susan Lapsley, who works for appointed Republican Secretary of State Bruce McPherson, who was appointed by Republican Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, immediately flew Republican candidate Brian Bilbray back to Washington, D.C., and inducted him as the newest member of Congress. This was done 17 days before any official certification of the election.
Wow. Well, Tom, we're going to have to leave it at that report because we're out of time for this segment, but I want to thank you very much for giving us that report. It's unfortunate, but the more evidence that we get that we are not being governed by a government, but being run by a racket that's set up to fleece us, the better we will be prepared to make some massive changes. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Phone number is 866-303-2270, and we'll be right back.
Feed the people. Make them happy.
Say, brother, now.
Power to the people.
Power to the people.
Power to the people, mama.
Power to the people.
Power to the people, brother.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Mike Molloy Show.
Thank you, Mike. I forgot to mention when I said at the top of the hour that President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad of Iran has challenged Bush to a debate. He won't accept. I mean, even with Wiregate, remember he was actually all wired up getting these messages in his ear when he was debating Kerry? If you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. Go to Wiregate. Just go to Google, Wiregate. Ahmadinejad condemned the U.S. and British roles in the world since World War II, and he said in the speech, "Isn't it time that international relations are founded on democracy and equal rights of nations? I suggest holding a live TV debate with Mr. George W. Bush to talk about world affairs and the way to solve these issues. The debate should go on uncensored in order for the American people to be able to hear and listen." Well, a couple, a couple of right-wing authoritarian ultra-religious presidents. Get them on. Bring it on. I'd like to hear it. Let's go to New Orleans. Rex, hi. You're on the air on the Mike Molloy Show. Peter Werby with you from Detroit. Go ahead.
Hey, Peter. I'd just like for you to define the term obscene profit for me. And who's going to determine it? Is it we're going to have a...
Wait. I don't know. What do you think there is such a thing as an obscene profit?
No.
How about, did you hear our guest last hour when he's, you're in New Orleans, did you hear what's happening there? A company, some of these companies that are pals with George W. Bush, they get a contract to remove trash from your town, $24 an hour, and it gets contracted down like five times, so the final contractor is hiring people, and they're getting $4, and all that money is that you're in my tax dollars is going to people that do no work. Would you call that obscene profit? Or just,
I think that's not an obscene. Hello.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean when you're talking? I didn't talk. Go ahead.
Oh, I'd say that's not an obscene profit so much as there are certain elements of potential illegality there. But my point.
It's not illegal. It's not illegal.
Well, my point of view is this, though: that who determines what's obscene? You, me, some third party?
How about me? How about me for starters? And if you see a profit, like, well, here, let me give you an idea. Something like ExxonMobil, it has record profits. All the rest of the big companies in the United States do. And they're able to pay, like a retiring CEO from ExxonMobil, $400 million as a retirement package. And that's because their profits have expanded more than the previous cost. So that's what's called gouging. You don't think they're gouging us, Rex?
Well, I'll tell you, they have to plow a lot of that money back in research and development. And let me put it to you this way. I was a small businessman until I retired. I retired at 50. I made obscene profits. I had a nursing service. My wife and I did. We paid our nurses $27 an hour, and we charged the hospital $45 an hour.
Well, wait, why is that obscene? Why is that obscene?
No, I said, do you consider that obscene?
I have no idea what your business practices are, but we're talking about people that have clocked in ultra profits they didn't sell more. They didn't do more. They simply charged people excessive amounts because essentially they have a captive audience, including you. I mean, how in the world can you apologize for these thieves?
Well, first of all, the market is a floating market. You've got demand from China, but the market is set not by any corporation or board. Exxon market price, supply and demand does.
It's not supply and demand. Come on. You're apologizing for people that are picking your pocket. I mean, they love guys like you. I mean, if it wasn't for folks like you, I hate to say it, Rex, they maybe would have to charge us a non-obscene price. Rex, thanks for joining us. Here is Derek in La Jolla. How do you say it? Yeah, it's La Jolla, right?
Derek, yeah, right. Hi.
Derek, yeah, sorry.
Hi, Mike.
Peter Werby, yeah, and Peter Werby here for Mike.
Say it again.
I'm Peter for Mike.
Oh, that's right, Peter. Hi.
Yeah, hi.
I wanted to tell you about the hearing today in San Diego where the judge said it was fine that the House of Representatives seated Brian Bilbray, the Republican, from the 50th District here in San Diego, because the judge said the Constitution says that the House determines who's a member of the House. And it was okay that Brian, went back there to get sworn in before the election was over here in San Diego. All the votes hadn't been counted, but that's cool because, you know, the House gets to determine its own membership under
sure.
the Constitution, supposedly.
Hey, what's going to happen, though, in November? Is it going to be a rematch between, remind me of the Democratic challenger's name.
Busby,
what's her name?
Francine Busby.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah,
she's
it's
quite
a rematch.
Good.
It's a rematch. And now they're running in the regular congressional election, just like all the other House members are around the country.
Well, and how much did she lose by? Not very much, was it?
About 4 points.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Things are getting worse. Hopefully the people of San Diego will get 5% smarter and will bring Ms. Busby back into the House. It'll just be a little respite, until the hammer really comes down on these Republicans. You know how scared they are? Because if either House goes to the Democrats, they're going to start investigating this racket called the Bush regime, aren't they?
Yeah, and there may be, there's probably going to be an impeachment motion come out of the House Judiciary Committee.
Well, and, there might be. Of course, John Conyers, the representative from the Detroit area where I am, he may introduce one. Tony Trupiano, if he wins in the 11th district again in Michigan against Thaddeus McCotter, he may do that. He says he will. There's actually a good site called ImpeachPack, P-A-C, ImpeachPack.com. You can find out which ones are going to run on an impeachment platform. Peter Werby with you on the Mike Malloy Show. We've got lines for you at 866-303-2270. I'll be right back.
Don't do anything at all. Go ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Have you ever met someone, shaken their hand, and the second you let go, you can't remember their name? Short-term memory loss is a natural part of aging, but forgetting names, dates, and misplacing things can be frustrating. In business, it can cost you money. Fight back with MemoProve, the new once-a-day tablet developed over 10 years by a pharmaceutical company using proprietary neuropeptides, clinically shown to improve memory. In just 30 days, MemoProve will boost your short-term memory by at least 15%, guaranteed. Call right now to find out how you can get a 3-month supply of MemoProve free. 1-888-665-MEMO. That's 1-888-665-MEMO. This is a limited-time offer, so call right now. 1-888-665-MEMO. 888-665-MEMO.
I'm a woman. I like things like movies with dialogue and sweater sets. I like hot cocoa on a rainy day. I like the word cocoa. But most of all, I like my big fat hog. Which is why I have Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Geico covers most kinds of bikes and has money-saving discounts. Geico. That's nice.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Hello?
Hello, hey, is this Rodrigo?
Yeah, this is him.
My man, listen, it's Josh, the new owner of your Jetta. You traded it in.
Wait a minute, that red 2004?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. It's just, when I'm driving around in this car, I feel like we're connected. It's just like we're a family, we should hang out. You and me in the Jetta? Do you have an email?
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
border to border and coast to coast. The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
The Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werbe here sitting in for Mike for this week. I'm broadcasting from Detroit. Please join me, 866-303-2270. This information just in, that, and this is the old deal about that figures don't lie, but liars can figure. And which would make more sense to go to first? Well, this one from the Economic Policy Institute. It's a great source, by the way. You can go to epi.org, epi.org. And actually, let's go to this one. It's the New York Times editorial today. The falling paycheck. After, and this is Rex in New Orleans, if you're still listening, listen to this one. After huddling with his economic team at Camp David this month, President Bush, remember, I only say president when I'm quoting. Yeah, I call him President Petomain, because that's one of his favorite little things to do for a joke when he meets people that are his underlings. And isn't he the king of the world? The king of the world, Mom. Anyway, Bush emerged from a meeting and, flanked by advisors, including the Secretaries of Labor, Commerce, and the Treasury, announced to reporters, quote, things are good for American workers. And this is uncharacteristic of the staid New York Times. They say, quote, that comment is preposterous. At the Times, as the Times reported yesterday, the economic expansion that began in late 2001 is on track to become the first since World War II that fails to offer a sustained lift to the real wages of most American workers. So that means essentially that while the profits of the ultra-wealthy and the corporations has been expanding tremendously, and plus Bush has given them tax cuts, the real wages of the middle class and the working class have actually dropped. Wages and salaries are now make up the lowest proportion of the economy since the government began keeping records in 1947, while corporate profits have climbed to their highest share since the 1960s. This should drive millions of us out into the street. Now, from the Economic Policy Institute, median income up. Hey, that's good news, right? But not for working age families. Here's just a summary of it, and you go to epi.org. Although income for median households rose in 2005, and that's one of the things that the Bush regime points to, and that's after inflation, that gain was driven exclusively by households headed by someone over 65. What's up with that? Thought we were supposed to retire then and have less money. But remember that old Mose Allison song? It was done by The Who live at Leeds. A young man ain't nothing in the world today. The old man's got all the money. One of the lines. Mose Allison, good to be. If you're listening here on WDTW in Detroit or in the Detroit area, Mose Allison is going to be at the Detroit International Jazz Fest this coming weekend. So you want to check that out. But hey, most of you aren't in the Detroit area. Matthew in Sioux City, Iowa says, hey, Peter, sorry to hear that household income in Detroit, Michigan, once the promised land for American auto workers, dropped more than $200 below the national median last year. Granted, what happened in New Orleans, Katrina, was a very bad thing, but what's happening to our manufacturing jobs, people's livelihood, like the auto industry, is much, much worse. You can't rebuild your life without a job. He sent that into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Before David gets blown away, let's get him on the air from Pompano Beach, Florida. It's Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show. Is it blowing there, David?
Hello, Peter.
Hello.
Yeah, I was just surfing about 5 hours ago.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the sustained winds out there?
Right now it's about, just from my personal view, about 15, 20.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it's good waves. Anyway, I enjoy the Mike Malloy Show. He hits the nail on the target. I don't like the ultra-religious right either myself. I don't like mm-hmm. those people. With that said, I just take a little difference with you on, blaming Katrina on President Bush, because it doesn't matter who's the president, because it's a hurricane. There's no one man that can decide nature, right?
Well, if that was the case, the Nation magazine, which is excellent, magazine, they have a book out called Unnatural Disaster. I mean, they had full warning, just like they had full warning of 9/11, that something catastrophic was happening. They had gutted FEMA, putting in cronies like, it's a heck of a job, you're doing a heck of a job, Brownie. So they were absolutely unprepared for it, and it was filled with people that were people that had no or little experience in it, and essentially FEMA had been gutted, so it didn't have the capacity to respond, even though the warning had been there. Here's Danielle in South Bend, Indiana. Danielle, hi. It's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
How you doing tonight, Peter?
Doing good, thanks.
I noticed you were talking about Katrina and all the money that's being made, and I wondered if you and the rest of the listeners were watching Sunday on Meet the Press. They had the new head of FEMA on.
Really?
And he was saying, you know, oh, don't worry, everything's fine. We've got a new plan. We've got, you know, plans in place, and everything's going great. And we've partnered up with some people who are going to help us keep track of all the money that gets spent and, you know, where everybody is. And guess who the company is that they've hooked up with?
Tell me.
Choice Point.
Oh, no.
You remember our friends at Choice Point?
Sure.
I wonder.
But do you remind people?
You know, they're the ones that purged
the lists.
The voter lists. I'm wondering if something happens and you ask for federal aid, do you go into Choice Point's database and the next thing you know, you're going to be purged from the voter list?
That's true.
Is this how they're going to make Louisiana the new red state?
Yeah, it is. I like Sam Cedar. Sometimes you just get stuck for words. And one of the things, I don't know if Sam Cedar is, I substituted him for him last week, that when he says, unbelievable, unbelievable, sometimes that's all you can say. I mean, how many more pinpricks, how many more of the 1,000 cuts can democracy take in this country before it just bleeds to death? Before the American people are moved to do something directly. We're just kind of waiting around and hoping the Dems are going to get it together in November, and they don't have a good track record of real opposition. And we're going to have to do what's done throughout history and through our country and through lots of parts of the world, that the citizenry en masse is going to have to enter the stage of history, or we're going to just wind up with some an unending series of catastrophes. That's what I think. Well, thank you, Danielle. I appreciate it. Speaking of Florida in 2000, remember Cruella, who's now the representative, U.S. representative, a congresswoman, Catherine Harris. She was the Secretary of State, and in something that just was unbelievable to people in other parts of the region, in the state in which was the key for the victory, if you will, of George W. Bush, a man who had lost the popular vote, all during the first years when Mike Malloy and Tom Hartman and me were broadcasting on the old IE America radio network, we referred always to President Chuckle Nuts, as Mike calls him, and President Petomain, as I call him, for his favorite little gag he likes to play on people. We referred to him as the loser. So this is an odd election. Came in second, you win. We never got it. But, of course, had everyone been allowed to vote, if the rolls of voters hadn't been purged illegally and unconstitutionally by Catherine Harris, who was the Secretary of State. But you had the state, the candidate's brother is the governor, the head of his campaign, the person who oversees the voting and the counting is the head of his campaign and the Secretary of State. So then, to show that crime pays, she gets elected to the House of Representatives. She's now running for Senate. Ain't going to happen. But so U.S. Representative Catherine Harris told a religious journal that separation of church and state, quote, is a lie. And God and the nation's founding fathers did not intend the country to be, quote, a nation of secular laws. So this, and she's had, by the way, have you seen her extreme makeover? She doesn't look like Cruella anymore, which is good. That's one good thing I can say. The Republican candidate for U.S. Senate also said if Christians are not elected, politicians will, quote, legislate sin, including abortion and gay marriage. She made the comment at the Florida Baptist Witness, or in an interview, the weekly journal, the Florida Baptist State Convention. She faced widespread criticism for her role overseeing the 2000 presidential election recount. GOP leaders, including Jeb Bush, don't think she can win against Democratic Senator Bill Nelson. Well, I don't think so either. Same thing happened. That's how they stole the election in 2000. Ken Blackwell, same deal. He was the Secretary of State in Ohio. He still is, actually, and pulled the same shenanigans or similar ones. And had everyone been able to vote, all the votes were counted, we would not be talking about President Petomain. 866-303-2270. Here is Leo in New Orleans. Hi, Leo. Welcome.
Yes, sir.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, sir. I had a comment about the, not this caller, but the previous caller. He said that no one man could affect the weather. And I wanted to correct him on that because he should really go online and check out the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. HARP is the acronym. It is run by the United States government, and it has the capability of altering and affecting weather patterns.
Leo, hold on. I got to put you on hold because we got to go to a break, but I want to hear more about this when we come back. So please stay with us in New Orleans, and we'll get to your call. This is Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show, and we have open lines. We have a couple you can grab. 866-303-2270. If you want to email me, calltalkyes@yahoo.com. We'll rejoin Leo and find out what this HARP deal is all about. Stay tuned.
You got to do what you do when you're doing it all the time. Wake up in the morning, discover that you're nearly blind every day. We got hell to pay.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Question. Are you one of the millions of Americans just treading financial water? I'm not talking about people drowning in debt. I'm talking about people who pay their bills each month but just don't seem to get anywhere and are worried about their financial future. Is that you? Then listen. There's a special program from Financial Freedom International. It's called the 9 Steps to Wealth. It's a systematic program that accelerates paying off your debts and begins to build your personal wealth. And it does this on your current income and without paying any more than you do now on your monthly bills. I'd like you to call for your free CD that explains the 9 Steps to Wealth program. Thousands of people have already used this system. Call now and discover how to transform your uncertain financial future into one of wealth and prosperity automatically. Call for your free CD, 877-870-2644, 877-870-2644, 877-870-2644.
Hi, Truth Seekers. You're listening to Peter Werbe sitting in for me, Mike Malloy.
Thank you, Mike. Peter Werbe with you at 866-303-2270 on the Air America Radio Network. Leo from New Orleans is with us, and he's talking about HAARP. H-A-A-R-P stands for the High Frequency Active Aureole Research Program. How do I know so much? I Googled it, right? Leo, welcome back. So they say that this program does not affect the weather. What do you say?
I say that they're totally bogus, and that's a bold-faced lie, because what you can do is you can go to Google, which you're already on, and you can Google HAARP, Holes in Heaven. It's an entire video where actual participants, workers in the HAARP program itself will tell you the actual functions and capabilities of this system. It has the capabilities of pumping 50,000 degrees worth of heat into the upper atmosphere, which would in turn lift the ionosphere. We all know what hot air does when it rises.
Yeah, they say that. They actually, what is it? Something like in the millions of watts of electricity they're generating, and they dump it into the. They're doing all. Let me see. Wait a minute. It says the goal is to further advance our knowledge of the physical and electrical properties of the Earth's ionosphere, which can affect our military and civilian communication and navigation systems. That's the official deal. Yeah.
Exactly, but they don't tell you the ramifications of what they're doing. And to prove to you what I'm saying is true, sir, if weather manipulation was not possible, then the state of Texas would not have it as a law on their books. If it was not possible, the United Nations in 1976 would not have wrote a treaty stating that you cannot use weather as warfare, because we all know undercover the United States seeded plows and rained out many villages in Vietnam.
Huh, so you think this is really a military program in disguise. I know nothing about it.
It definitely is, sir. It is a splinter of the Department of Defense. It was initially created for missile defense. That's what HAARP was originally for. But they found so many other capabilities that it's astounding. They can look into the Earth for miles with this machine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it has the capability of starting earthquakes, because it sends ultra-low frequencies down into the Earth. You know what happens when an ultra-low frequency would hit a fault.
You know what, Leo, actually, you must be on a cell phone because you're kind of breaking up. So thanks for alerting this to us, and I will tell other people about this other, I think this is what you said, HAARP.net. So if you go to Google, just Google in H-A-A-R-P, and then you'll get the official government site. And then the critical site is haarp.net. And there's a lot. Wow. Yeah, I love this show. I've said this before. In fact, I often say this when I broadcast. Right-wing shows have callers that bring absolutely nothing to it. They'll say, hey, Sean, what do you think about Cindy Sheehan? She said today that da-da-da-da-da. She hugged, Hugo Chavez of Venezuela. What do you think about that? Or, what do you think about the Democrats? That's all they do. But I'm always amazed at what you folks bring here. So I'm going to, I don't know when I get home, but at least tomorrow I'm going to check this out and see what it's all about. All right, let's go back to our call. I've got to switch screens here. And this is Ann in Memphis. Ann, hi, it's Peter Werbe. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to make a brief comment about Katrina, the guy who, blamed it on the hurricane. That's a common misconception. What happened to New Orleans is not the hurricane. What happened to New Orleans is a catastrophic failure of levees and canal walls. And that is a federal responsibility. It is not a state responsibility, a local responsibility. It's federal. So the federal government was responsible for the maintenance of the levees. They failed. They were responsible for the structure of the levees. They failed. They were responsible for the FEMA response. They failed. And the buck stops at the president. A Democratic president said that. The buck stopped at Bush, and he chose not to respond.
Yeah, they had the money available. Instead, they spent it. They spent it in Iraq. They spent it on building up a military that didn't need to be built up. You know, I just said sure when you said that, but actually, my response to David in Pompano Beach was actually inadequate, because I said the only problem was that they didn't heed the warning and the FEMA was unprepared. But you're absolutely right. The roots of it go back to a system of levees that's totally inadequate. Richest country in the world. Then you see these. Ever seen that little series of shots where they show like the dikes and the levees in Holland and this huge gate that on the Thames River in England, and then they show the pathetic New Orleans levees, and you think, wow, I thought we were the richest country in the world.
Yeah, and what's really distressing is that, you know, the floodwaters have receded. There was an outpouring of help and support and money. And as Mary Landrieu, she's wonderful, by the way, from New Orleans, the senator from Louisiana, as she pointed out on a talk show this weekend, all this money's been allocated, but it's not being dispersed to the people who need it. It's being hung up in bureaucracy. It's stuck in a bottleneck, and people are still struggling. If you have a job, you don't have a house. If you have a house, you don't have a job.
Yeah,
and
it's exactly
where do you go, what do you do?
It's exactly like Iraq. I don't know if you heard my interview in the first hour with the director of Corp Watch, C-O-R-P, Watch, corpwatch.org. But everything we thought, it's one of these things where I thought, boy, I knew it was pretty bad down there and things weren't getting done. But when you see the level of corruption and the typical cronyism of the Bush administration and giving it all over to the corporations, it's just astounding. It's absolutely astounding.
And what really bothers me the most is that they try to blame it on, I'm from Louisiana, so they tried to blame it on the culture of Louisiana, the culture of corruption. But you're right, the corruption right now is not on the state level. It's not on the local level. It's on the federal level. Do you know, and I know this for a fact, who was called in and given a multi-$100 million contract for environmental cleanup when they have no experience in environmental cleanup?
Everything. Everything about it, and just stinks. And I hope that if the Republicans don't get their just rewards in November and get kicked out of both houses of Congress, I don't know what. And I just hope that somebody in the House, led perhaps by John Conyers of Michigan, who will be head of the Judiciary Committee, will introduce a bill of impeachment for high crimes and misdemeanors. And thank you very much for all of that.
You.
I appreciate it. It's the Mike Malloy Show on the Air America Radio Network. I'm Peter Werbe. We've got another hour coming, and I hope you'll join us. Open lines at 866-303-2270. Email to me at calltalkyes@yahoo.com. I'll be right back.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
And then God said,
let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it.
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Tropical Storm Ernesto has made landfall near Plantation Key, Florida. Hurricane warnings have been canceled for the state of Florida. The National Hurricane Center in Miami says the warnings are off because Ernesto is now only a very mediocre storm that will bring mostly heavy rain to South Florida. At the Kennedy Space Center, NASA has returned the space shuttle back to the launch pad because the hurricane warnings were scuttled. NASA has set the next launch window sometime around September 6th or September 7th. 1 year after Hurricane Katrina, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has repaired or upgraded 220 miles of levees in the New Orleans area. No one knows just how the levees will perform should another Katrina-type storm hit the city, but Lieutenant General Carl Strock is hopeful.
I'm not pleased with where we are, but I think it's as good as it can possibly be right now.
Strock believes the $5.7 billion in repair work, including the installation of massive floodgates at the 17th Street and London Avenue canals, offers more flood protection than was in place when Katrina breached and overtopped parts of the levee system, leaving 80% of New Orleans flooded. An official of the National Transportation Safety Board says the pilots involved in Sunday's deadly plane crash in Lexington, Kentucky, were highly qualified. Debbie Hersman of the NTSB said both the pilot and co-pilot each had more than 3,500 hours of flying experience. However, the crew made an early mistake.
They picked up their paperwork and they boarded an aircraft. They started an APU on aircraft 7824, and the ramp worker advised them that they were not on the correct aircraft.
So the pilot and co-pilot switched to another jet, and that is the jet that crashed. 49 people of 50 people on board the Comair jet were killed after the pilots used a runway too short for the plane to take off. Vice President Dick Cheney made a stop in Omaha Monday to help raise money for Republican Congressman Jeff Fortenberry. He later addressed a gathering at Offutt Air Force Base where he talked about the war on terror. Cheney thanked the members of the Air Force 55th Wing for their efforts. He also emphasized the administration's position of staying in Iraq until the military and police forces there can defend their own country. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show on the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby subbing for Mike this week. Mike doing the Randy Rhoads Show earlier in the day. Our number is 866-303-2270. I'm broadcasting from Detroit, Michigan. ITMFA, ITMFA.com. Don't go there if you offend easily, because there's some rude words there. But it's about impeachment. But again, there you can go to impeachpack.com. Impeachpack.com if you want something a little less offensive. But this phrase, ITMFA, is beginning to sweep the country. In fact, I just sent an email to the webmaster saying, I've got to get you on the air. I don't know whether Mike has ever had him on or not, but these folks are, this the, let's see, the first in ITMFA, the I stands for impeach, and people have been getting license plates. What do you call those things? Design? Not, there's another word for it. Maybe it is designer license plates. But you can order them up. You pay an extra $25. So people have been getting ITMFA license plates. It has to do with impeachment, but a rude word in there, right? And suddenly the state is, like in North Carolina, Myra writes into ITMFA.com. She says, I think I had the very first ITMFA license plate. And they show photographs of them around the country. The state pulled it about 2 months ago. I got a polite letter, a self-addressed envelope for the return of that one, and a new plate in the mail. I had to put it on the new plate, or I wouldn't have been driving legally. But I did not return the plate. I will hang it up framed for my grandson to have. I like it. And we'll see if we can get David, the webmaster, on the air. Many of you know Nancy Skinner. Nancy Skinner was a colleague of mine, along with Mike Malloy and Tom Hartman, on the old IE America Radio Network. She did mornings, and also mornings here in Detroit on WDTW for quite a while. Now she's the Democratic candidate for the 9th District in Michigan against one of these real hard-right Republicans, Joe Nolenberg, and I see here in the Birmingham Eccentric. What an odd name for a paper, huh? This Birmingham, Michigan, this wealthy suburb outside of Detroit. You drive a few miles, you go from, you know, it's like the third world. You go from ultra poverty to ultra wealth in just a matter of miles. But she is challenging Joe Nolenberg to a debate. And I'll have Nancy on. I'll see what, because Joe is already saying, well, I don't know, maybe not, or anything like that. Because he knows he can't come up good with that. All right, let's see. Let's go to Emma in Vacaville, California. Hi, Emma. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
There was a really great report on Democracy Now! On the Pacifica stations done by Greg Palast. And apparently what he's discovered is that the company that wrote the supposed evacuation plan called Innovative Emergency Management had no prior experience in emergency planning, but their founder was a Republican
contributor.
Donor.
Yeah,
and
I didn't know this. I'm just what else would he be? How else do you get in on the gravy train, right?
Yeah. Well, it gets worse. Palace went to try and find the evacuation plan, and no one can find a copy to give to him. And so then he started nosing around, and he interviewed the deputy director of the Louisiana State University Hurricane Center. And this guy apparently had gone to FEMA and Innovative Emergency Management and said, look, there's 127,000 people in New Orleans that don't have cars, and your plan essentially is for everyone to get in their car and leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then he pointed out that the other thing is, you just need to add 18 inches to the levees, and they won't fail. Well, he was told by a state official and a FEMA official to sit down, or his job would be in jeopardy. You really should go online to Democracy Now! You can download or watch the video. It's appalling.
And there's also good stuff on Greg's website. It's Greg Palast, PALAST.com, GregPalast.com, who's always way on top of everything in terms of investigative reporting. And he virtually has to have his reports published and aired in England. What a joke. What
he
a
also has
joke.
An excellent book out called The Best Democracy Money Can Buy.
And what's he has a one after that. In fact, if I had a memory, I'd be able to tell you because I interviewed him about both of them.
One other thing. What you were looking for was vanity plates.
Oh, vanity plates. That's it. Boy, I depend on you folks so much. Thank you.
And
Emma, were you named after Emma Goldman?
I'm named after Emma Goldman.
You are?
Yes.
That's wonderful. Google, if you folks don't know who Emma Goldman is, Google her. Thank you so much, Emma.
One more thing.
Sure.
At some point, would you do a show on the idiot propaganda call ID, creationism?
Maybe.
It is so out there, and they have apparently like this 10-year plan to destroy science and especially biology in grade school through college.
Well, if you think about it, they like Middle Ages forms of government. They like royalty and absolutist rule, right? And they like theocracy. So why not get rid of science? It all follows. You know, Emma, I just previewed a movie. I don't know if it's been released yet anywhere in the country. It may have. It's called Jesus Camp. And it is one of the most frightening movies I have ever seen when you see what's being done to children in this country by these wacko evangelicals, man. It is frightening. Emma, I got to get some other calls. Thank you so much for yours. Here's Larry in Prescott Valley, Arizona. Larry, you're on the air on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby with you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I called because of that one caller earlier who said it didn't matter how much you paid for something.
Oh, that was Rex. Rex in New Orleans said, how do you define obscene profit? Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, he acted like it didn't matter, like if you went to buy a two-for-penny piece of bubble gum, if you paid a penny or a nickel or a diamond or a bar of gold or anything, it didn't matter to him. When we first started using money and when we got it to the abstract form that it is now, all along the way, it was used as a tool to help facilitate human needs. And now they're trying to use it to destroy the people who are in need and the people who put the money into the whole system to begin with. It's outrageous.
Yeah.
When he says it's not obscene, well, what Bush has been doing, at least in terms of New Orleans, it's tied directly to 600 cases of aggravated manslaughter. So it really does make a difference, and it really is obscene.
All right, thank you very much. Here's Jim in Sacramento. Jim, hi, you're on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby, at your service.
Hi, I had a question. I agree with everything you said about Bush, and what I don't understand is remember the Vietnam demonstrations in the 60s?
Sure. I took part in them.
Well, anyone, I feel, more than half the people in the United States can see that Bush is just completely out of control, that he's destroying the country. Now, the other, say, 40% that agree with him, I don't know how many agree with him, are blind.
About a third.
Pardon me?
About a third it is now. His ratings are just down to the fascist third of the people that if he declared a fascist dictatorship tomorrow, they would just give him the Nazi salute. You know, that's the only people that support him.
Mm-hmm. Well, the question I have then is, referring back to the demonstrations during Vietnam, where are these people at? I mean, anyone, like I said, anyone can see that this country is being destroyed by them. Where are all the demonstrations and stuff to stop it?
Well, you know, there are some, and if I either had my memory together or I had it in front of me, if I had a staff of 10, they would give me all the ones that are going to be happening. There's this whole series of national demonstrations called The World Won't Wait, and I suspect if they're not in, they're for sure will be in San Francisco, if not Sacramento, but you really got to, unfortunately, take some doing to find out where they are. I mean, for instance, on April 28th, I mentioned this, I think, last night, my wife and I went to New York to visit friends, but also to take part in this enormous anti-war demonstration where, and you tell me whether you heard about it in Sacramento. So it was in April, at the end of April, there was 350,000 of us marching down Broadway. Did you hear about it?
In Sacramento?
No. In New York City. Sorry, didn't I say that?
No, okay.
Because you know what? They barely reported it. So you can go to unitedforpeace.org. That's another good site. They're happening, and we got to make them happen. And, Jim, I think things are just getting ready to blow. Thank you. I got to blow out of this segment, and I'll be back to get your calls in just a second. The number is 866-303-2270. It's the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby with you.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello, my name's Smokey, and I'm a hardcore biker. I'm here to tell you that Geico... Hold on a sec. Is this the right music, bro? Really? Anyway, Geico covers most kinds of bikes, so you can get money-saving discounts whether you're a casual weekend rider or a hardcore biker like me. See, man, I'm not sure. This music don't make a lick of sense.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Hi, it is Michael there.
Okay,
my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just miss it, you know? And how is it?
It's great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It is so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring a 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
And now, back to Peter Werby on the Mike Molloy Show.
Thanks, Mike. Bob from those Hollywood Hills writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com that I said the name of the group wrong. It's The World Can't Wait. What did I say? The World Won't Wait. I love it. Anyways, this is an anti-war group that is having demonstrations the beginning of October, probably the first Saturday, I would suspect, Friday or Saturday, I think maybe the 5th. Don't write me a lot of email. I will look it up in just a second. But it's worldcantwait.org. Worldcantwait.org is what it is. And actually, I will Google it right now, and we'll see if they can do it. Oh, because they just had big ads in the Drive Out the Bush Regime. I like that. The world's on fire. Nice graphic. Actually, it's on my website as well, peterwerby.com. PETERWERBE. And let's see, some more email as well. October 5th it is. Good memory. I hate it when people don't put what day it is, though. I don't know. Somebody email me that. One person. You. Right. Look at a calendar and tell me when the 5th is. William writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Perhaps when enough people end up in the direction I find myself in which is a direct result of Ford closing plants, which has reached my life here in California. Try and find a job now with only Ford experience is a joke of the worst kind. Once enough people find themselves at this point, close to broke, they will find their way with millions of others who have had enough. I'm ready, but certainly don't want to be standing out there alone, which is what I expect will be the result. Well, William, if you did it today, probably would be the case, but I suspect at some point we will have millions out there. All right, let's go back to our phones, which are 866-303-2270. And here is Joy in Santa Cruz, California.
Hi.
Hi, I love Santa Cruz. I visited there to visit that station that I got actually thrown off of because of my anti-Bush views. Huh. And the owner got 4,000 emails.
That must have been the person who owns the now affiliate for Air America.
Indeed. And actually, he and his mother got on the air and denounced me. And a year up to the end of the anniversary of when they dropped me from the station, his mother got on the air and gave an on-air editorial denouncing me by name and apologizing to the people of Santa Cruz for ever having me on. On the other hand, when I was there, I got a tremendous reception and loved the city. But anyway.
Well, one of the best cities in the country.
Anyway.
Except for that station. I was calling because I wanted to remind you, you interviewed David Swanson last week.
I did indeed, from Democrats.com.
That's right. And I did an extensive interview with him via phone, and I wrote it up, about CampDemocracy.org, and this is in reference to the guy who called who wanted to know, well, where is our Vietnam protests? Camp Democracy is September 5th through the 21st in D.C. on the Nation's Mall. It's going to have workshops, and they're going to be training people for a massive, massive action of civil disobedience on the Mall. Towards the end on the International Day of Peace, which is September 21st. By the way, it starts September 5th, which is a Tuesday.
Right. Okay, thank you.
And they're also going to have a showing of a film called 100 Years of Nonviolence, which is a story about the story of from Gandhi to now, because it'll be the same day. They're going to have the showing of it will be exactly 100 years since Gandhi did his peace marches and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, if you go to campdemocracy.org, all the information is there. They're going to have artists and musicians. They're hoping to get Willie Nelson because he's definitely in the camp with these folks.
Yeah, I'm looking at the schedule now, and it's absolutely incredible. Dave Lindorf and Barbara Olshansky, who I've interviewed, who wrote The Case for Impeachment, the legal argument for removing George W. Bush from office, and David Swanson, who is I'm not sure what his title is, one of the organizers of this event, who was a guest of mine on the Majority Report last week, invited me to come there and speak right at the beginning. I can't do it, but I'm going to try to get there maybe in the middle of the month or something. It's just an absolutely incredible event. And in fact, what it is, according to David Swanson, is Camp Casey, Cindy Sheehan's Camp Casey, moving from Crawford to Washington, D.C. So no rest for George W. Bush, just in the way that Bruce Gagnon and the people up in Maine put together the Kennebunkport demonstration that we had a report on.
Well, Cindy Sheehan hopefully is feeling better by now, and hopefully she'll be able to join Camp Casey. But I want to remind people that she is sick and to send her some loving energy.
She's not sick. I mean, she's recovering from a hysterectomy.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And I don't know.
Not well.
I've seen some women that it's taken quite a while. Others kind of pop back kind of quickly. They're kind of back in a week. Maybe she'll do the same thing. Well, thank you so much for reminding us about that. And that, of course, that's far away from Sacramento, where our caller was interested in. But there's stuff going on in Sacramento. There's stuff going on everywhere. So this is an event of high quality and great importance. And it's right at the Devil's Door in Washington, D.C. And just hearing you remind us about it made me think that, yeah, I got to get there. September 8th, Labor Speaks Out. September 11th, Festival of Workshops, Trainings, and Entertainment. It's going to be a big thing. Peace Day, Electoral Reform Day. Danny Schechter, my old pal, the producer of Weapons of Mass Destruction, or Weapons of Mass Deception, rather, going to be screening his film. I got to go there that day and say hello to Danny. The Mike Malloy Show, Peter Werby with you, 866-303-2270. We'll be right back.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Apicor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Apicor and my hair stopped.
Hold everything. Here's a special offer from Apicor. Today, Apicor will double your order. That's right, double it. You can't go wrong because only Apicor gives you up to a full year to see results or get a full refund. Today's the day. Apicor will double your order. Call Apicor now and get twice for the price.
I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Apicor really worked.
Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Hello?
Hey, is Mark there?
Yes, it is.
Mark, I'm Paul.
Yeah?
I own your old, new Passat.
Oh, yeah, the...
Yes! Oh, boy, it's great talking to you. Listen, if you ever want to just swing by and just, you know, sit in the Passat, you give me a call anytime, we'll make that happen.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today. We'll be right back.
justice, and the American way. It's more of Mike Malloy.
And Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. A couple more segments. Join us, 866-303-2270. Let's go back out to Sacramento and talk to Terry. Hi, Terry. Peter Werby with you. Had another caller from Sacramento just a little while ago said, nothing's happening.
You got the wrong caller, I believe.
Are you Terry?
I'm Terry, yeah. I didn't know who the other voice was there.
Okay. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, great. Your past caller was talking about the reasons why or why not the demonstrations for the Iraq War are not what they were during the Vietnam era.
Right.
And I didn't ever hear an answer to that question. Do you have any theories on that?
Well, for one thing, when they began, they weren't very big, but as the war expanded and the deaths increased, there was hundreds of Americans. Well, we're up to like 2,600 and something, and probably, let me see if I'm right, there probably were months, I don't actually remember, but there's at least like 1,000 a month of American battle deaths. So, and also there was the draft. Much of the thrust of the anti-war movement in the 1960s, although it was across the board in most sectors of society, the youth were really the driving force behind it. And now people just can go, hey, how about those Tigers here in Detroit? Because they're not going to be drafted, and they weren't dumb enough to volunteer in the middle of a war. I mean, that's kind of cruel to some people, but I guess I talked to a young guy that volunteered recently, and I said, you know, there's a war going on. And he said to me, well, I probably won't get sent there, and it'll be over by the time I'm through basic anyway. Whereas Bush is talking about it's still going to be, troops are going to be there after he's president. Any theories that you have, Terry?
Yeah, Peter, I do. I understand you were on the demonstration side of things, you said, during Vietnam. Is that correct?
Sure.
Yeah, right. Well, I was on the other side. I was one of the warriors in the war. Mm. And when I came back from the war and was spit on by the public and
The public spit on you? Everybody spit on you?
Yeah, they did.
Who?
Sure did.
What do you mean?
California.
You mean the public?
Literally. They called you baby killers, I mean, and belittled you. And
But somebody physically spit on you?
Yeah, they sure did.
What was the circumstances?
Well, I'm back from the war, and you know, I'm celebrating being back from the war, and people take it to task, and they were literally chastising the military troops for going to that war.
Now wait a minute, but did someone take spit in their mouth and spit on you?
Yes, they did that.
What were the circumstances of that?
They threw things at you. I mean,
wait, who's the they? You know, you're being so unspecific here. Tell me the story how someone spit on you. You were a young man then. You were battle-hardened. You probably wouldn't take anything from anyone. So tell me the story of how one person spit on you.
I mean, I'm commuting from my home to a workplace of work in military uniform. And people literally, as you walk down the sidewalk, would castigate you, would spit on you, and all that. What I'm getting
so at, wait, no, this is interesting. I mean, more than one person spit on you?
I say more than one spit on me, but it happened to my fellow military folks also. And I'm giving you examples of how we as the warriors, the troops, were chastised and received zero support for what we thought was going to a war to support the country.
Well, you know what
Go ahead. Listen, you asked me.
Go ahead.
I feel there's a difference between Vietnam and Iraq and why there's less demonstrations out there. And I think it's because now the liberal side of the House wants it both ways. They want to say we support the troops, but we're against the war. That didn't happen in Vietnam. What happened in Vietnam was the public demonstrators, as yourself, you did not support the troops, and the troops were folded into the equation. And
well, let me tell you this, Terry, and let me have the floor here, New York. Okay. There's a book out called The Spitting Image, which identifies stories like Terry's, and it's kind of tough to say to somebody directly that it never happened. But First off, the vast majority of people that came back from Vietnam were asked in polls. The people were asked in polls when they came back from Vietnam, what was their response? 95% of veterans said it was good at the time. There's never, you can go through all the newspapers, all the television reports, everything there is, and there's not a single reported case of anyone actually being spit on because they were a returning vet. It's preposterous on the face of it that someone would spit upon a somebody in uniform without thinking they're going to get their clock cleaned. Secondly, if someone did spit on people in a very, very isolated incident, there's no way in the world that you would think that it was anybody having to do anything with the formal anti-war movement. Every single anti-war demonstration was led by, first, active duty GIs, people that were currently in the military that were either had been in Vietnam or were waiting to be shipped out there. Sometimes there were thousands of active duty GIs aligned with the anti-war movement. Behind them were Vietnam veterans, thousands of them in the big marches. Behind them were the veterans of the other wars, and behind them were often the hundreds of thousands of people that wanted the GIs to be brought home in one piece. And when I've talked about this on the air before, in fact, I had the author of the spitting image on, and again, it was a kind of deal where people, liberals, mostly liberal guys, that said, yeah, I was spit on. So suddenly, there are thousands and thousands of previously undocumented, unreported incidences of spitting that at the time had no reflection in the media. Well, the media, of course, was so incredibly hostile to the anti-war movement and so pro-Nixon and pro-war that had there been even one incident like that, they probably would have put it on the front page of the paper or featured it on television. There's nothing there. Suddenly, though, you have these movies like Rambo and what was it, Coming Home, Going Home, or whatever it is, and that's shown in there, and suddenly all these men have these memories of being spit upon. I'll tell you, I got to go with. I don't want to say that you're not telling us, but I can't get out of you, Terry, a single. I can't get you the single story. So tell me exactly what happened to you, the circumstances, and how you responded.
I've given you enough there, Peter. Obviously, you were on the other side of the.
Now, all right. So you know what? I think it's BS. I don't think anybody spit on you.
We never lived the life that we did as the GIs returned.
Listen, the GIs were in the anti-war movement. The GIs in Vietnam wore black armbands when there was mass mobilizations here. The reason that one of the big reasons that the war ended, the army was falling apart because it had the same feelings, the same young men had the same feelings about young men back here did. People would sing the country Joe McDonald song about the feel like I'm fixing to die rag. Officers began being fragged, began being assassinated. Units began to refuse to fight. Dope use was rampant. On and on and on. It was a horrible, illegal, terrible, unnecessary war that was based on a lie, exactly like the Iraq War was. And I guess you know your unwillingness to tell me the story confirms the sense that that this metaphor that the public spit on us. It wasn't a single person. I'm sure somebody got spit on somewhere. You know, actually, in that book. I'm blocking his name. Someone may remind me by email or calling me, that when he began investigating it, it turned out that it was months later and someone was in a fight or someone was in a bar. I mean, it's like this image of the Vietnam vet after having fought for his country comes back off a plane and some effete, long-haired hippie comes up to him and goes, and spits on him in his face. And the man with spittle dropping off his nose just looks to the ground thinking, how did this happen to me when I fought for my country? I mean, for one thing, if you spit on another man, you've got a battle and a half on your hands. So if this would have happened more than 5 times, it would have happened 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times. But people always present it in this mass manner. The anti-war movement spit on returning GIs. Total crap, total lies, never happened. Did someone somewhere get spit on? Maybe, but not the 1,000 or so people that wrote into that right-wing columnist to claim it. All right, Terry, thank you very much. Actually, no thank you at all. to tell you the truth. This always just pisses me off so badly because the anti-war movement was so pro-GI. They set up counseling centers for GIs outside of every base. They had these FTA tours, and I don't want to say what FTA, forget the Army, except it didn't, there was another word other than forget. There was defense funds set up for GIs that refused different orders. There was help with, did you know there was like 500 GI anti-war newspapers on every base there was two or three anti-war little newsletters on the USS Ranger. Ships were sabotaged before they could leave a harbor because the men didn't want to go. Officers signed petitions saying they did not want to go back to, they did not want their ship to go to Vietnam. It was a mass movement of opposition to war, the kind of movement that we could only hope for today. And to besmirch the people that were involved in it, the massive anti-war GIs to begin with, and the anti-war civilians, which I am so proud to have been part of, does me badly, as you can tell. I'm Peter Werby. This is the Mike Malloy Show. You join me at 866-303-2270 for our final segment right after these.
But you can't walk away. I make you think I'm delicious with the stuff that I say. I'm the best you can get. Have you guessed me yet? I'm the slime.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Question. Are you one of the millions of Americans just treading financial water? I'm not talking about people drowning in debt. I'm talking about people who pay their bills each month but just don't seem to get anywhere and are worried about their financial future. Is that you? Then listen. There's a special program from Financial Freedom International. It's called the 9 Steps to Wealth. It's a systematic program that accelerates paying off your debts and begins to build your personal wealth. And it does this on your current income and without paying any more than you do now on your monthly bills. I'd like you to call for your free CD that explains the 9 Steps to Wealth program. Thousands of people have already used this system. Call now and discover how to transform your uncertain financial future into one of wealth and prosperity automatically. Call for your free CD, 877-870-2644, 877-870-2644, 877-870-2644.
We'll be right back.
Hi, Truth Seekers. You're listening to Peter Werby sitting in for me, Mike Malloy.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to our final segment. The book is The Spitting Image, Myth, Memory, and the Legacy of Vietnam. It's written by Vietnam veteran Jerry Lembke, L-E-M-B-C-K-E. If you just Google Spitting Image, you got to put Vietnam in there, you'll get something else. Spitting Image and just put Vietnam and you'll get this. This is from Wikipedia. It says it's a 1998 book by a Vietnam veteran which argues that the common claim that American soldiers were spat upon and insulted by anti-war protesters upon returning home from the Vietnam War is a little more than an urban myth. One of Lemke's conclusions in Spitting Image is that there was not even a single media report to support the claims. I mean, like I say, could have happened. Somebody said, I don't like you, like that. They were drunk or something like that. But it's presented as a mass phenomenon. And if you remember, Terry said, the public spit on us. And here's what Lemke says, that the reported spitting on soldiers was a mythical projection of those who felt spat upon and was meant to discredit future anti-war activism. That's very important. And this was really manipulated by the Republicans. But he cites in his book, which I've read and I've interviewed him a couple of times, in The Spitting Image, that when the polls were taken of returning Vietnam veterans, that they didn't complain about the way they were treated, but when Reagan began manipulating the image in this Hitlerian fashion, you got to remember that one of the ways that Hitler rose to power was on the wounded pride of the of Germany and the German soldiers, and it was the same deal. That soldiers would come back from the front and they were spit upon, and that their insignias were ripped off their clothing by these screaming women with sharp nails. And again, there's no historical basis for that whatsoever. But this is very important. It was meant to discredit future anti-war activism, because doing talk shows, I've heard people say that, well, I hope this anti-war movement doesn't spit on the returning soldiers. I mean, think of the language, and let's have some precision here. How can an anti-war movement spit on soldiers? It is mythic type language. He suggests that the image of pro-war antipathy against anti-war protesters helped to contribute to the image. Lemke argues that memories of being verbally and physically assaulted by anti-war protesters were largely socially constructed, noted that not even one case could be documented. Not one case! Spitting Image asserts that claims of abuse of soldiers only became ingrained into the American consciousness some years after the war had come to a close, which Lemke attributes its growth to films relating to Vietnam, notably Rambo. And again, this is Hitlerian. The war was not lost on the battlefield by the soldiers. It was lost at home. And there was a couple of people I was spat on. I had a friend that was spat on. Please don't tell me about a friend that was spat on. That doesn't work at all. And I don't even want to take this one. If this is a correct summary of it, and I don't want him on the air. Ken from Houston says, Peter, you shouldn't blast the vet. Who the hell is blasting the vet? You listen to what I'm saying at all? Give me a break. Here's Barry in Portland. Barry, you're on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here.
Hello?
Hi.
Who is this now? Mike Malloy?
No, this is Peter Werby sitting in for Mike. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello, sir. I was going to mention something that I looked up last week while I was waiting to talk with Mike about George Bush Sr., and the Iran-Contra situation. Now, his intent was to raise the price of oil when he was dealing with that against President Reagan that was trying to do something else with Iran. So like father, like son.
You got it. Thank you, Barry. I'm going to get some other calls before we end. Here's Jeff in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, Jeff. You're on the air. Hey, Jeff, you with me? Well, you got to, yeah, go ahead. You're on the air. Hey, Jeff. No, Jeff. Let's see. Kate's been waiting a long time in Omaha. Kate, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Kate. Hi, Peter. It's been a long wait. What can I say?
Yeah, go ahead, but quickly, please.
Okay. You know, I think the problem today is everybody has labels. You're Democratic, you're Republican, you're whatever. What happens to just being American and standing for what you've done for the people and on the platform you're standing for?
Well, you know, I mean, the idea that people shouldn't run on party labels but on as individuals?
Yes, as individuals. And what have you done for the people? And what are you going to do for the people?
Unfortunately, particularly in municipal elections where judges, people really don't know too much. I mean, you could say they have a obligation to find out. But I guess, and you know, we can disagree, I think that there ought to be strong party identification in the manner that there is in Europe. So you'll have Democrats like Joe Lieberman, and you'll have Democrats like John Conyers in Michigan. So the party's all over the board. And so what do Democrats stand for? I don't know. It's kind of hard to say. Are they pro-war? Hillary and Kerry and Lieberman were, or they're the anti-war like Russ Feingold and our senators here in Michigan, Levin and Stabenow. It would be nice just to know what a party stood for, and this guy says, hey, I stand on the party platform. I don't know. All right, thank you, Kate. Let's see, real quick, Ron from Elk Grove, California, and we're out of here in just about 30 seconds, so give me your best shot. Hey, Ron, you on the air? Ron, are you with me? No, Ron. Okay. Thank you, Ron. Jeff, go ahead, but you got to do it real quickly.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering if you read the article in the Nation magazine about...
I didn't. Give me a summary.
Bush postpones 2008 election, written by Stephen Gillard, is a professor at New York University School of Law.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't hear what year. 2000 what?
Bush postpones 2008 election.
Yikes. Well, hey, what do you think? Are they just going to give up power? Are they just going to say, okay, I guess we lost the elections of 2006, and it looks like we're going to lose the elections of 2008? Do these power mongers, these greedy authoritarians, are they just going to let it all go? That's a scary possibility, Jeff. I'm going to take a look at that Nation article. It might be online at nation.org. I'm going to check it out. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Thanks, Tim, in New York. Thanks, Lauren. Appreciate all your hard work making this happen. We'll do it again tomorrow night.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.